Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Tuesday live in beautiful Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1, Joy Taylor returns today. So fitting that Joy is back. Her brother, of course, the Hall of Fame football player. Joy understands what NFL locker rooms are all about. Your brother, of course, played for Nick Saban.
He did.
Best college coach ever, who did not work in the NFL for a variety of reasons. He didn't quite get the sensibility, the temperature of the room in an NFL locker room, right? Is that fair?
It's two different businesses and two different sports. We often mush them together, and they've gotten much closer over the years. But, yeah, it's a big difference coaching young men and adults with mortgages and children of their own.
And that often make more than you, the coach.
Yes, yes.
And have a union, a players union. And so there's a television show out there. I just started binge watching. It's quite adorable. That's a key word here. It's optimistic. It's corny. But it's hopeful. It's called Ted Lasso. It's really quite good as a TV show, where a small Southern football coach, Division II school wins. And I mean, it is beyond corny. But you suspend belief because you know it's not true, and the character is so infinitely likable that he gets hired by a devious owner of an English Premier League team, she's a great actress, to coach an English Premier League team, and he's never watched a soccer game. Again, it's not realistic, but it works as a TV show. It doesn't work in real life. Urban Meyer thinks Ted Lasso, and maybe that's because he's watching the show and he likes it like me, he thinks he's going to bring a tight end that hasn't played for 8 years. Oh, my bad. Tim Tebow's never played tight end. He's a quarterback. And I'm going to do a Ted Lasso impression here. If you think Tim Tebow tight end to Jacksonville works, you think Ted Lasso would walk into that locker room, well, boys, we got a guy's been out of the league 8 years, maybe nine. I lost count. He used to be a quarterback. He wasn't very good at that. He's a tight end. He's never done that. And he's going to set the culture in here. He's going to show us boys how to win. Oh, God, it's cringy. Tim Tebow is now at 6'2". There are no tight ends at 6'2". 6'4 is considered small at tight end. Is going to put his hand in the dirt and going to block a young man who is a pass rusher that weighs 25 pounds more and wants to put food on his table because he's got a new baby girl. And he's been cut by two NFL teams, and he wants to kick Tebow's ass because he doesn't buy his nonsense anyway. Because that defensive end would never have gotten a shot at baseball. He would never have been drafted in the first round. And he's putting food on the table for his baby daughter. And you think Tim Tebow's going to put a hand in the dirt and block him? Oh, that is so cute. This is awful. It's so collegiate. Folks, Rudy is a true story about a walk-on in college. Hoosiers is about Indiana high school basketball. This is the NFL. People wonder if Kyle Pitts, the new prototype at tight end, can block. He's 6'5 and runs a 4'4, and they will demand he blocks. Tim's 6'2. He ran a 4.7 40 8-9 years ago. He's never been as athletic as everybody hopes, and he's a good person, and he's corny and optimistic and hopeful. He is Ted Lasso. And I like Tim, and I've met his brother, bumped into him on vacation. I've said before I'd put Tim somewhere on a roster maybe like 7 years ago. But this isn't going to sell. We know Urban. I liked Urban. I know Urban. I've known Urban forever. I've been saying nice things about Urban. Today's not one of those days. Okay, we all know Urban is smart and can coach. Good broadcaster, too. The question was always, does he understand the sensibility of the locker room? Saban really didn't. And Saban is sharp and Urban sharp. But when Urban tried to muscle through a strength coach from Iowa who had just been fired for abusive behavior to athletes and some racially insensitive stuff, as a little bit of a red flag. It's like, Urban, that's not going to work here. And that lasted about a day. It's like, you can't treat NFL players like that. They'll deck him. Okay, you can't sell Tim Tebow out of the league 8 years as a tight end. Now, maybe he's trying to get invested, get his pension or something like that. I mean, maybe that's it. But even then, you're taking somebody else's job. A head coach called me this morning. He said, does Tebow understand what it's like to block a defensive end? Does he own a mouthpiece? Come on. Again, Hoosiers, Rudy, Ted Lasso. I loved all of them. But they're TV shows or they're movies. And the reason you allow Ted Lasso to work, I mean, by the way, this shows you how unrealistic it is. It's shot in London, they say. The first three episodes, it never rains. It's sunny every day. Well, that tells you right there, it's not made in England. Or they pick the 2 days of the year it doesn't rain in England or is not cloudy. But you suspend belief because you like the story and it's hopeful. And so is Tebow. That's why everybody fell in love with Tebow. We knew he couldn't throw. He wasn't that athletic. But he was an easy guy to root for. Right? In America, everything's so negative and cynical. And Tebow was like Ted Lasso. He was so optimistic and so hopeful and chasing his dream. He was impossible for a lot of people not to root for. He put his religion out there. He was just players said he's the guy you want your daughter to marry. So nice. But it didn't work at quarterback. And then at baseball, where he was a great high school player with both and a great college player in football. Folks, sometimes I think it borders on disrespectful. I really do. I think you're going to try to take food off the table from defensive ends. Somebody's losing a roster spot because of this. Man, it feels like an eye roll to me. And I don't want to be negative here. I'm Mr. Uncle Colin is Mr. Positivity, glass half full. But boy, this just doesn't feel right. This feels like the strength coach with a nicer guy. It feels like a complete eye roll by NFL people. When I have coaches calling me this morning and going, the hell? Sorry using that word in a Tebow rant, but I mean, it's not going to work. All right. I remember when the late Kobe Bryant scored 60 points in his last game, and he set a record for the most shots ever taken in a game. And I worked with somebody at the time, and he hated it. He said, that's not how you end it. And I argued, no, that's exactly how it should end for Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was authentic to himself. Kobe Bryant, Laker fans would tell you, he often shot too much. But Kobe Bryant setting an NBA record on his last game, shooting the most shots ever and dropping 60, was perfect. Kobe was a performer, an entertainer, closest thing we've seen to Jordan. And it worked for me. I thought, that's authentic. That's who Kobe is. Had Kobe come out and set a record for assists, you'd be like, what? That's not who Kobe is. Russell Westbrook did something last night. Now, he didn't try to do it like Kobe, but it was a perfect, perfect night that symbolizes Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is insanely athletic. Top five athlete league history. Wildly fun. Polarizing. And last night, he set the all-time NBA record for triple-doubles. And at the end of the game, with plenty of time, he took a three-pointer and missed. It was not great judgment. He had time to drive and draw a foul. He's good at that. And he missed a three-pointer. Of course he did. Here's the end of the game. It's so fitting.
The Wizards are going to go with it. Here comes Westbrook, 4 seconds. Westbrook puts up the three, no good, and Atlanta's going to win it by one.
It's tough right there. Got a clean look off Russell Westbrook. Just came up short.
On a night when he makes history, he keeps that ball, but the Wizards in a one-point game again.
Of course he kept the ball. He once said it's his best friend. That's how he should set the record. And this is not a criticism of him. When Jameis Winston's last pass as a Buccaneer was a pick six, you're like, well, that's kind of what it should be. Russell Westbrook gave you both facets of his game last night. His utter brilliance, his unmistakable athletic ability, his brilliant talent carved through years of focus and determination. You got that. And he missed a three-pointer badly when he should have driven, gotten fouled, and headed to the line. You get that. He's won seven playoff games since he and KD got a divorce, and that's with James Harden and Paul George at two different stops. He is one of the most unique players ever. People say Iverson. I think he's more athletic than Iverson. I think he's stronger than Iverson. I think he's more vertical than Iverson. He may not be as fast. I'm not sure anybody's ever been as fast as Iverson. But you got a little of both yesterday. In fact, you got a lot of both. Can't really shoot. Judgment sometimes we don't love. But he now holds an NBA record, one that means a lot to him. Not much to most people. I'm not really a triple-double guy. But it means a lot to Westbrook. Poll most basketball fans, it doesn't mean a lot to them. But that, too, has always been Westbrook. He's a little different. He's contrarian. He's unique. And now, fittingly, he's a record holder.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Devontae Adams was on our show yesterday. Thank God the NFL Network credited us with the actual interview. Somebody didn't. Nonetheless, I am not bitter. I do not hold grudges. Devontae was great. Great to have him on. I'd love to have him on again. So we talked about, I asked him some questions about, what if Aaron leaves? What are you doing? You're a free agent in a year. And Devontae Adams said this.
When I first got it, I was actually on the golf course trying to enjoy myself. A couple brewskis out there. So it's a good day. And then I hear that and it kind of sways it, obviously. I don't really know what to think. I hadn't really spoke to him. So, you know, it wasn't the best news to receive while I'm out there trying to have a good time. But, you know, it scared me a little bit.
But if Aaron moved on, you have such an incredible working relationship with him. Would it affect your future in Green Bay?
Potentially. I mean, that's my guy. That's the only guy that I've had, you know, other than that 2017 season when he got hurt. It's the only guy that I played with him. You know, we built up a special connection over the years that has made it, you know, put us both in really good positions in our career. It would change a lot, man. You know, doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but, you know, I'd definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here.
Yeah, you don't want to lose him. He may be the best receiver in the league. In The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, it was really a cautionary tale on don't tick off your superstar. As Joy has said often, not many of them around. Take care of him. General manager Jerry Krause of the Bulls didn't want Phil Jackson back. But that didn't mean he lost just Phil Jackson. Because Michael said, I will not play without Phil Jackson. So you lose the best coach and the best player. And then Scottie Pippen, Rodman, Steve Kerr, Bolt. And now your best player is Tony Kukoc, a finesse European who won best sixth man in the league. That's your franchise player. You lose Aaron Rodgers. Number one, your Jordan Love pick is going to be exposed. Going to be a bad day for Brian Gutekunst, the GM. You're going to lose the locker room. You're going to lose Devontae Adams. By the way, you've never been a place that can get free agents anyway. Yeah, you're done getting those. You struggled to get them with Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Folks, the Chicago Bulls have never recovered. And that's a wealthy franchise with an owner willing to pull the trigger on big moves. And by the way, it's a very attractive city. I'm going there this weekend. They've never won more than 50 games. One time, 23 years. That's it. The Chicago Bulls have never recovered. Green Bay, do you understand how the dominoes work? You know, I've worked in corporate America for God, ever. Let's start with that. Ever. And, you know, I've had a pleasant experience every place I've been. But I'll tell you something, almost as a rule, executives sometimes don't see around corners. and you think one move stands on its own. And it is incredible in my career doing this how often one move becomes two, becomes three, becomes four. You lose Aaron Rodgers, you better have a backup plan. You better be trading with somebody with a quarterback. Minimum Derek Carr. Because you bring Teddy Bridgewater in, nice guy, but they don't play the same. So there are, you lose a Jordan, you lose an Aaron Rodgers. There is such a waterfall effect of just people moving on. Agents like, don't play. Why would an agent want one of his receivers to go to Green Bay? Your catches are going to go down. That's what I always said about the Tim Tebow fascination. I was always like, wide receivers are never going to want to play in Denver. They had Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. Their numbers plummeted. Tebow's gone. Peyton Manning comes in. Now they're all pros. Now they're getting... I mean, the bottom line is you lose Aaron and Jordan Love stinks if he does. And by the way, their GM said this past week, he's a long way off. What free agent wants their career to end in the smallest city? So it is Davante Adams. You're not gonna get another Davante Adams. Like he's a Hall of Famer. He's maybe the best red zone receiver in the NFL. Like there's not a lot of him on the conveyor belt. Like those Jason Taylors, Davante Adams, just don't Khalil Mack. You don't get a lot of chances. Khalil Mack is a once in a decade rush end. Giants have never gotten a Lawrence Taylor. Bulls have never gotten anything close to Michael Jordan. Zach LaVine, that's Michael Jordan. That's about as close as they've had.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greg Jennings joining us now, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Okay, I want to start with Tebow before I get to the Packers. So I just said this. Have you seen the show Ted Lasso yet?
I have not.
Okay. It's corny and it's hopeful and it's optimistic, but it's a TV show and it's actually funny. It's totally unrealistic. A Division II college football coach wins and he gets hired to coach an English Premier League soccer team and he's never watched soccer. Again, it's totally unrealistic, but it works as a TV show, right? It works because he's a likable character. The writing's very funny. Tim Tebow to the NFL feels like that. It's overly optimistic and hopeful. The fact that he's going to put his hand in the dirt and try to block a defensive end 8 years out of the league, I wonder if that locker room in Jacksonville saying, come on, bro, really? Like, I don't know. It's Greg. It feels very hokey and collegiate to me. Do you think the locker room buys into it?
You know, that's the question. I'm not certain. They have a young locker room, and so that's what gives me hope. If they were more of a veteran locker room, then I think this would not work even speaking about it, because you got to think about what this looks like for so many players. They work their tails off each and every year to make a roster. And then you see a guy who comes in who has been out of football for the length and the duration of time that Tim Tebow has been out of, not coming back to play the position that he was once in the league for playing another position, and he's on the roster. Like, he's there with an opportunity, and it's so hard for these young men to even get an opportunity.
Yeah.
It wouldn't come across great for a lot of veteran guys. And so when you're thinking about young guys, they have to kind of embrace it because it is what it is. They don't know any better.
Yeah. I mean, again, Rudy worked because it was a blowout game. It's one play. It's college. There's all sorts of walk-ons in college. It's kind of a fun story. This feels like walk-ons in the NFL. And remember, you're taking somebody's roster spot. So I just...
Correct.
I think you're going to get a lot of whispers in that locker room like, dude, you couldn't play baseball either. Let's go to this. So the GM, Brian Gutekunst, had a quote that Joy just talked about. I hadn't seen this quote. Apparently he made it last week when he said Jordan Love has, quote, a long way to go, unquote. And I'm thinking, okay, dude, you had 32 college starts. I know there wasn't a preseason, but Justin Herbert walked on. He didn't get much of a preseason either. I'm thinking, if I read a long way to go, and that to me is, I'd be worried today. I would be empowered if I'm Aaron Rodgers. I would be worried as a Packer fan, or am I overreading the room there?
Oh, I think when I listen to that and he says Jordan Love has a long way to go, they're realizing the severity of Aaron Rodgers' leverage and his angle that he's coming from. And so it's like, okay, we're going to say this guy has a long way to go. I believe he still has a ways to go, but how long? None of us know. They're in that locker room. They see him on the playing field every single day in practice and in the meeting rooms. So they know that timetable roundabout. But for me, when I hear that, that's a general manager who understands where his footing is, and he has none right now when it comes to his starting quarterback, the MVP of the National Football League, who wants out of that current situation because of a decision you ultimately made. So let's make sure Aaron knows, look, we're letting everyone know he has a long way to go. We need you back here. We want you back here, even if it is for just 1 year. They understand the importance of messaging. And so I think that was all a part of the messaging to make sure that Aaron Rodgers catch that and understands we're not moving to him right now. You are our guy in this very moment. However, I think it might be too late.
Yeah. By the way, I had Devontae Adams on yesterday, and I just asked him point blank. I said, if Aaron left, why would you stay? Well, you're Devontae Adams. Like, I mean, there's a reason Stephon Diggs wanted to go play with Josh Allen. He was all into that. When you were with Green Bay, it's understood. It's different. They don't have an owner. They're pretty frugal. It's not attractive to free agents. Just take me back to the power of Favre and Rodgers and getting free agents. When you guys would have, I mean, because mostly the Packers have always been built through the draft. But I think if Aaron leaves, the Bulls have never recovered from Michael leaving, and that's a beautiful city that's very attractive, a franchise with tons of money. You could go sideways fast. I mean, when you were there, how much did Favre and Rodgers elevate free agents even considering Green Bay?
Well, that's the attraction. That's like the icing on the cake. That's kind of that cherry on top when you have that ace in your back pocket and you're able to throw that out there on the deck, on the playing table and say, look, we will always have a chance because of Aaron Rodgers. We will always have a chance because of Brett Favre. Well, if you have that playing card removed, now you are out of the question when it comes to trying to recruit and bring in talent that wants to win a Super Bowl, that is veteran, that is right now get it done. That's what Aaron Rodgers, that's what all these Patrick Mahomes, and think about this. The Cincinnati Bengals, with acquiring Joe Burrow as their pick last season, they're going to attract so many guys now because we all see the potential in Joe Burrow. He has nowhere near Aaron's level as far as his resume, but we see something there, and that's going to attract you. When you have a piece at that position that is so very important and valuable, that that can be the determining factor whether a free agent comes or he goes and turns around and goes the other way.
Yeah. I got to circle back to Tebow. I don't want to be a bad guy on this because I was harsh on him the first time. I'm like, this doesn't work. It is crazy. Like, I mean, let's be honest. If you were in Jacksonville's locker room, there's already a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of skepticism about college coach in the locker room. A little bit. You don't want to admit it, but a little bit. I just feel like that tripled, right? Like you would have a conversation at lunch with a guy saying, there'd be a lot of whispers, right? In the cafeteria.
It would be, here's the problem. It's not going to only be a lot of whispers in that locker room and within that organization. There's going to be a lot of chat. There's going to be tons of chatter across the league, because when you allow a guy, and I don't want to say allow, when you afford an opportunity like this to a guy like Tim Tebow, and I remember I heard Shannon say this on Undisputed a while back, he's been one of those guys that's been always trying to stay in that limelight, continuing to pursue his dreams, his goals, his aspirations, all these bucket list things. And for this to be one of them, it just seems so disrespectful for the guys who are qualified and who have played that position for so long and who have worked their tails off to try to earn a roster spot, and you don't even consider them. You go to a guy who's not put his hand in the dirt, who you have not seen play at this level, at that position, and you just give him that opportunity. That is what the chatter is going to be about, and it can cause rifts, not only within that locker room, but across the league when you talk about other players who we know Colin Kaepernick is out there, and he hasn't been afforded an opportunity that many people think he should be afforded.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's almost like a blind spot for Tim Tebow. He just doesn't understand that he's a great college player, but in professional circles, Major League Baseball players rolled their eyes at him, and NFL guys at the end rolled their eyes at him. They did. I'm just being honest. He went to New England. They couldn't get him on the field. He went to New York. They couldn't get him on the field.
Joy said it. Players talk. Players know immediately who can play and who cannot play. And this is one of those guys. There's likability there. I get it. There's a relationship there between he and Urban Meyer. But as far as playing football on that level, the National Football League level, Tim Tebow has just not cut it. He's just not cut it.
Yeah. Good stuff, Greg. And Greg Jennings, Fox Sports NFL analyst. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely.
What's up, everybody? I'm John Middlecoff. I host the 3 and Out podcast. I need you to go subscribe right now. If you like football, you like the NFL, you like the NFL draft, you like college football, guess what? I have you covered. I scouted in the NFL. Now I talk about it on 3 and Out. Coming up this week, Tim Tebow. He's back. OTAs, they're on. And we dive much deeper on the draft. Again, 3 and Out podcast. Go subscribe.
Tim Tebow's story was fascinating. And I was not a huge Tebow fan as a player. But Tim, I should give him credit here. Tim taught me something. And Trump, I was no fan of Trump. Trump taught me something. And that you can tell people stuff all day. But if you make people feel something, then you move them. Tim Tebow was the first athlete I ever covered where I could give people data. And it didn't matter. Because the data for Tebow was bad and it ruined the story. It was telling you that Santa Claus wasn't real. Tebow was wholesome, and he believed in God, and you believe in God, and he's wholesome, and he's nice, and he's sweet, and he's optimistic, and he's not perfect. It was like the Truman Show. It was impossible not to root for Jim Carrey, surrounded by all those people manipulating his life. Tebow made people feel something. Feel wholesome, feel good about football, feel good about America. That you can be nice and hopeful and sweet and a little corny, and you can win in the NFL. I could give people data. He was the first athlete I ever covered. It didn't matter. It just didn't matter. Trump, it didn't matter. You could give people data. Trump made people feel something. And Tebow's career passer rating is 75. That's bad. But in the first three quarters, it's actually 69, the worst ever. And then teams would go into a prevent defense because they led, and he would boost it. His completion percentage was 47. That's awful. But it was worse. It was 44 in the first three quarters. And then teams would give him, as they led, easy completions, moved it up to 47.9. His yards per attempt with good receivers in Denver was 5.9. That would have been dead last. It didn't matter. Every time I gave you those stats, it didn't matter. Because those stats don't make you feel anything. Tim did. By the way, he's Taysom Hill. He's just Taysom Hill. No, Taysom Hill ran and runs a 4.440. He could play corner in the NFL. Taysom Hill is one of the 10 best athletes in the league. Tim Tebow runs a 4.71. That's slow for a tight end. Last year, Taysom Hill had a 99 passer rating and a 73% completion percentage. And I don't think he's good enough to be a franchise quarterback. But Taysom Hill doesn't make you feel a certain way. Trump, whenever the answers are hard, people move toward simplicity. Because most people don't want to read the story, they want to read the headline. So they go to their Reddit or Facebook or Twitter. It takes 1 minute. And they get the simple answer. My cousin Joe said that Tebow is the... No, that's not what the truth is. And it's really hard these days. Truth, fact, fiction all gets blurred in the information tunnel because there's just a lot of social media now, and your cousin says this, and that guy who on Newsmax tells me this, and it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. There's just, you can't separate fact from fiction. It's hard to delineate the two. But I learned something from Tebow, is that popular trumps data. If a politician makes you feel a certain way, he wins. Obama was about hope. Trump was about change. Joe Biden, by the way, sleepy Joe Biden. Let's be honest. You didn't agree with all his policies. He's a little too old to be running, but he kind of made a lot of people feel he'll just bring the anxiety down a little bit. He won't use Twitter as a weapon. He'll just bring it. You didn't have to agree with his policies. That's why arguing about it is silly. Tebow really was the first athlete I ever covered. The data didn't matter, and I like data. I build all my arguments off data. So I'm not going to try to convince you how to feel about Tebow, because I know how he makes a lot of you feel, and I stand no chance against that force field.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Justin Jefferson is putting the worry in NFL defensive backs and defenses. He had the most receiving yards in the history of the NFL for a rookie. In a league with seemingly an endless stream of receivers, he was an all-pro as a rookie. And he went to LSU. All those guys are good. Swear to God, you play at Baton Rouge, you come to the NFL, and it's just, you're fine. Day one. He joins us live. Justin Jefferson, Vikings Pro Bowl wide receiver. By the way, Justin, Ja'Marr Chase, and this tells you how much talent LSU had. They got Ja'Marr Chase on one side and Justin Jefferson on the other side. So tell me a little about Ja'Marr Chase. If I'd never seen him play, and you were explaining to me what Ja'Marr Chase is like, and Joe Burrow now has Ja'Marr Chase. What is he like? What was he like to be a teammate of?
He was phenomenal to have a teammate. We are both competitive, and, you know, we love to compete. So every practice, every game, we just try to outdo one another. And, it was great to have him as a teammate and to play on alongside of him and Terrace.
Is he a little bigger than you, smaller? How are your games the same? How are they different?
They're a little different. I'm more of the little twitchy-ish, fast. I have good routes. He has good routes also, but he's more of the physical, vertical threat type of receiver. He's versatile just like me. He can go inside and outside.
You know, when you get to the NFL, and we just had the NFL draft, and it was a good receiver draft, and you popped immediately. But let me ask you, if you were going to go back and tell all these receivers that just got drafted, if you were going to give them one thing and say, okay, here's the one thing I'm going to tell you, the difference between college and the NFL, what, Justin, would that one thing be?
The one thing I have to say is just, well, I played in the SEC, so, we played at guys like Alabama, Georgia, all of these big-time teams that have, some tremendous players on them. So every week the competition is not that different from the NFL. The only thing that would be different is just the players are smarter. They've been in the league, 8 years or however many they have been, so they study the game. They know the different types of movements, where you're going to be on the field. So they're a little bit more smarter than in college. That's the only thing that's really different from the SEC.
Yeah, you're dealing with men, looking at video all day. Right. That's the reality of it. Totally get that. When did you know as a Viking? Was it the first practice? Because, listen, even great college players sometimes don't work in the NFL.
Right.
When did you know when you and Kirk Cousins were together and you thought to yourself, oh, it's going to be good. I'm going to have a good – I can play in the NFL. It's going to be good.
I'll have to say after that first start against Tennessee, when I had my first touchdown, 175 yards, seven catches, I feel like after that week, I feel like it was going to be a good connection between me and him. And then from there on, we just started getting better and better. We started working with each other more. And, I mean, it showed on the field by having 1,400 yards.
So now you have had Joe Burrow and you have had Kirk Cousins. And take your time here. now, compare them. Where are they similar? Where are they not similar?
Similar. Kirk and Joe throw similar balls. They're not the strongest arm, but they're going to get it to you exactly where you need it. You need them to throw it. You know what I'm saying? The thing about Joe that's a little bit different, I feel like Joe had that a little bit more swagger, you know. he has that confidence on the field. And, I mean, he's not scared to get hit. And I feel like as a quarterback, that's a big trait to have, especially to be as young as he is. And, you know, he's a phenomenal quarterback.
So were you surprised to hear the Vikings were interested in Justin Fields? Did that surprise you at all, the quarterback from Ohio State?
No, you know, we have to build on, you know, for after Kirk or whatever, the case may be, but, having Justin Fields brings a little bit more, pressure, to other teams by having, you know, a dominant quarterback, like he is.
So my son for years played Fortnite, and I mean, he lived in front of a computer. You are kind of legendary for your dancing, which is now featured on Fortnite. So let's just talk about let's dive deep into this. Okay. So my theory is guys who can dance, it's natural. You could dance when you were seven. You could dance. Somebody in your family was a dancer. Was your mom a dancer? Was your dad a dancer?
My dad was a little bit of a dancer, but I mean, growing up, me and my brothers always used to just dance to music. And I mean, it's just that New Orleans culture, that Louisiana culture, that, you know, we like to give a little 1-2 once the music comes on.
Well, you're a great player, and Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, many believe. I talked to an NFL scout about a month ago, and he said, you're going to have the two best receivers in the NFL, both from LSU. He goes, you're not going to believe how good Justin Jefferson is. And then he was great, and now all of a sudden we're going to have Ja'Marr Chase. By the way, you're working with Optimum Nutrition, your Building Better Lives program. Give me a heads up on what that is.
What we had worked on, we're just going back to my community, bringing some fitness and bringing some light to my hometown. And you, just like you said, we're building better lives and just trying to stay fit. Just all of this different protein and energy drinks that they have is wonderful. And I'm definitely excited and proud to be working with them.
Justin Jefferson, the All-Pro as a rookie. The endless stream of great LSU football players in the National Football League. Good luck to you. Can't wait to watch you play. We had Devontae Adams on yesterday, Justin Jefferson today. Listen, if you're not an All-Pro, we don't even want you on the show anymore. That's our new standard. Good seeing you, Justin. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.